Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. We're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. 1989 was ground zero for the Ninja Turtles. That was their year.
And you could tell because the Transformers franchise collapsed.
Transformers never had that toy. You had to like strap your Ninja Turtle under a toilet that had slime flushed down the toilet. That actually happened. Look it up.
I remember a few years ago, they were selling in stores like the original molds for the Ninja Turtle toys. And I was like, I got to get all of these. I'm going to relive. And then and like at a certain point, I'm like, wait a second. I'm not going to use this. Like, this is garbage.
You mind if I kind of bring focus back to the game real quick?
If you have to.
Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal, and Bobinator, Booker, Hart, and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and Luffy wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. And add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Hey, what are you suggesting?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. For this episode, we're going to be talking about Yars' Revenge. Who's with me to talk about Yars' Revenge?
I'm Bobinator.
I'm Carl.
And I am Sotanga.
I feel like this is like the A-list old school crew. This is the boys are back in town type
woof,
thing.
Woof, woof, woof.
Yeah, and we're talking about the most old school game possible, an Atari 2600 game. Well, I guess more old school would be like the Magnavox Odyssey, but nonetheless, it's appropriate.
Well, you said that this is the best-selling game that wasn't a licensed game on the Atari 2600.
That's right. Yeah. So this is a So it was this game was nominated by one of our beloved iTunes reviewers who gave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Utopia Nemo. The game Yars' Revenge was developed by Howard Scott Warshaw and published by what?
Oh, no, I find it funny because obviously Atari would just claim that the game was made by Atari, you know.
It is one of those games that has an Easter egg where I think you can find the guy's initials in it at least.
His initials, I think, are backwards, which is a hint as to why the game is called Yars' Revenge.
It's actually named like the CEO of Atari. Yeah. His name is Ray.
Yeah, so they put the Easter egg backwards to hint about that the name of the game is the guy's name backwards. That's complicated stuff for no reason at all.
Howard Scott Warshaw.
Howard Scott Warshaw. Famous developer of Indiana Jones and E.T.
So, Yars' Revenge, right? This is released for the Atari Video Computer System, or at this point, I think it was probably, at this point, it was called the 2600, even though it's the same thing. May 1982. This is like it sold at least a million copies, if not probably much more than that.
I think.
Yeah, a lot. Like, this is one of Atari's biggest hits on its own console at this time period. This is like 1982 is when you got Activision just cleaning up, just cranking out the hits. All these like disgruntled former Atari game designers are out there just like cranking out the stuff. They're getting Plaque Attack. They're getting River Raid.
Those games sound so freaking lame. I gotta tell you.
But they're awesome.
They are pretty damn good. Well, yeah. For their time anyway, I guess. It's a little hard to speak about Atari 2600 games in the modern.
The system is basically a can run games weaker than a toaster can now. Like, it's not a powerful system.
Can you run Doom on a toaster is the question I have.
You probably can now. I think you got your smart
nowadays,
toasters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, no, this one.
Yaw's Revenge.
The limit, though. It's Yaw's Revenge.
It is a it is one of the classic Atari games. It is it might be their last like Atari published truly. Well, no, that's not true. Because
did we do Atlantis or whatever? That was a published Atari game, wasn't it?
We did Adventure.
Adventure is way before this, though. It's like 79 or something. This is 82.
It's 82.
But Atari published Solaris, which we also did.
Yeah, Solaris is the one I'm thinking of.
And that's like 86. No, 88. Yeah, that's crazy late.
They must have accidentally released that. I'm sure we mentioned this when we talked about it. We got to talk about Yaw's Revenge.
We did, yeah. Yaw's Revenge. So it's great. It's a great game. It's a shooter. So it's about... So, although I've always grown up and assumed it was called Yaw's Revenge, we looked at the box art right before we started recording and saw that it's actually called Yaw's Revenge. It's Yars apostrophe. So there's multiple Yaws.
Yep. I guess the Yaws are the fly type things that you are. They're part of some sort of army fighting against some other army.
Right.
I believe the enemy destroyed your planet or something, or a planet. It's always quite abstract.
Yeah, so you are a Yar, and the game is a thick screen shooter, but it's kind of unique because it operates horizontally instead of vertically, which is kind of the norm for fixed screen shooters, right? It kind of goes against that, and it's got this. It also utilizes some kind of interesting gameplay elements that are taken from games like, say, Space Invaders. And other things where it's got these two barriers, right? So you're the Yar, and you've got to shoot your Zorlon cannon into the breach.
What you have to hit is known as the Kotile.
The Kotile, the evil Kotile, which exists on the other side of that, of this kind of barrier, which looks like a bunch of like kind of multicolored static rainbow wall type thing.
Which is called the neutral zone.
Yeah, and you go and it's in the Kotile is protected by some sort of shield, right?
Yeah, it's just called a shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shield that you gotta either like ram into until it goes away or keep shooting it.
Right. So
you gotta eat it. That's what you do. The Yar eats the shield.
Gotta eat it. In the meantime, the Kotile can attack you, of course. Even whether the barrier is up or down, or whether the thing that's covering it is up or down, it can also fire this swirl, right? I think that's what it does when the barrier is up. It shoots the swirl out, and it's literally like capital S swirl. That's the name of the thing, and it's this thing that comes out and it can kill you. So the cool thing is kind of the neutral zone that you were talking about, right? The weird like. The color block static pattern looking thing in the middle that you can kind of once the Kotile is shooting at you, I think you can kind of hide from it.
So what happens is the Kotile fires its, what is it just called, a laser cannon? It's something. Destroyer missile.
The Zorlon cannon, that's Yars' joint.
No,
I think Kotile fires
the destroyer missile. That's what it does.
Yeah.
And that homes in on you, and its in speed increases as you get repeat loop the game.
It's this little homing candy bar that just keeps on moving to wherever you are.
Candy bar, that's a way to
describe it. Yeah, you know, Yar can't have any junk food, he's on a diet. But in the neutral zone, you can pass safely through the destroyer missile without taking any damage. So, kind of think of it as like one of those electronic or gassy sort of like nebulas where missiles lose their tracking, so you can kind of just fly past it, allowing some interesting maneuvers, because the missile just slowly tracks towards you, and then less slowly. Also, just before I forget this, you can just, like, the top and bottom of the screen are looping, so you can just jump from one side to the other. I think the missile doesn't understand that, so you can pop up and down across the screen.
Yeah, it's like, and you know, it's just, it's a 2600 game, so you just kind of like keep doing this, and it gets a little bit harder and a little bit harder, and there's like difficulty settings you can change and all that stuff.
I will say that the game does do a good job of making levels feel different. Like, eventually the shield starts to move, or it starts to like rotate, so you have to keep hitting it to clear out all of it. Like, trying to describe this better, it's like, everything you clear out kind of like constantly rotates, so it's a little bit harder to clear, and it
adds on a little visual effect, actually. This game's got quite a, most 2600 games are fairly static because that's
right.
What are you going to get? You got like 4K of ROM or something. Like, you do not have a lot of space to work with.
No.
So the fact that stuff kind of moves is pretty cool in this game. Like, it's quite like impressive. Yeah. So you want to pick if you play the game, if you're unfamiliar with the VCS or Atari 2600's setting system, it has 6 or 7 game modes. This one, and each one is either type single player or two player, which is, you know, just you go, they go, you go, they go. It's not like anything special. But what you'll probably want to do is pick game 6 or 7, because that's where it puts all the game elements on. So at this point, you actually have to activate your cannon, right? Like that cannon that you use to shoot the quotile. You actually have to score points by eating its shield away, or by touching the quotile, which is really dangerous, because it can become a swirl and kick your ass. Then you actually go back to the left side of the screen to activate your cannon, and then you gotta fire the cannon while dodging out of the way, because, it's tough.
Oh, yeah. Can you describe that a little bit more, like, how that works as a gameplay mechanic? Because it is pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, so, basically, in order to kill the quotile, you have to fire the cannon at it. It's not the cannon that you have attached to your ship, you know, the little piddly thing that breaks down the shield. So, as long as you're playing the Ultimate Yars, which is the major game, but the other ones do have a cannon, you have to get the points, you have to physically touch the left side of the screen, so the furthest from the quotile, which then generates the cannon on screen, and it will track your player position, presumably primarily due to, you know, limitations of the system. You can only really control one thing on one line. And then when you press the fire button, instead of firing your normal shot, you will fire a shot from the cannon. And because that'll then track across the screen, you've got to get out of the way, or you will get shot by your own cannon and die.
Right, yeah.
Which is great.
Is crazy. You're kind of using your own ship as a target, or like kind of like a bait or something for the
yeah.
shot, in a way.
And you got to line it up, because the quotile constantly shifts up and down. So you actually, there's like this sort of pong breakout element there where you've got to aim it just at the right time to hit the quotile, which will then clear the level. Also,
what's interesting is you can hit yourself with your own missile. So you got to be careful about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's surprisingly like if you compare it to a lot of the other 2600 games, it's surprisingly like, oh yeah, this is actually quite fun, and doesn't feel, once you kind of get over how it actually functions, like, this is actually quite fun. Like
Once you get it, it really holds up. Like, it's like, you know, it's very arcadey, of course, but it's like one of those Atari classics that I do hold up for people who want to check out the 2600 and get something out of it. I think it's included on pretty much every kind of Atari like collection, or like,
it'd be,
you know,
crazy not to, because it's
They actually even made like kind of a homebrew sequel to it, called, I don't know whether it's called like Yars Revenge 2 or Yars Return or something like that, but
yeah,
that has a
Yars
thing
Return.
Where it's like, that has a thing where it's like the neutral zone and stuff is like, I think, I don't know whether it's like four-sided or three-sided, and the quotile thing is in the middle. It's pretty cool. You can move your ship kind of all the way around the screen, I think.
Oh, you can't shoot in the neutral zone. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that is a big deal, right?
The demilitarized zone, as it were.
Yeah. So I found out that this game was, it started out, it was going to be a port or a ripoff of a game called Star Castle. Anybody familiar with Star Castle? It was an arcade game.
No, actually.
Play that one.
You should look this up, because I've never seen it or played it. I'm going to be looking out for this next time I'm at, a convention or something like that, because I really want to try this. It looks really clever. So Star Castle, now keep in mind, I've never actually played this game. I'm just looking at footage of it in preparation for this, because it said this was started out as like inspired by it, but the technical limitations of the 2600 wouldn't allow it. So it's a vector-based arcade game.
How are you going to find this to buy, by the way? You're going to have to just play it on, like, it's an arcade game. You can't.
Yeah, I'd have to get it running on MAME or something. So it is, it was published by Cinematronics, those purveyors of quality.
Genuinely.
But I guess it was ported to Vectrex or something, as well. So I'm still kicking myself for not buying that Vectrex. That's my white whale.
If you were Vectrex and you didn't buy it, you just immediately a fool. Like, straight up.
Well, I could probably just barely afford it. Like, I could just had enough money to, like, buy the Vectrex and then put enough gas in my car to get home. That's how long ago this was.
I swear, like, the price just goes up. It just continually trajectory
and
upwards.
If you ever are hurting for money, you just go to Japan or something and you can sell it for, like, thousands and thousands of dollars. Because it's a real novelty over there. I mean, everybody, once you see a Vectrex, you realize how cool it is. Anyway, Star Castle, so it's kind of like, it is like a 360-degree motion type thing where the enemy ship, I think, is in the middle of the screen and surrounded by, like, three rotating laser barriers or something. In the game, I'm pretty sure it probably uses, like, some kind of color overlay on the screen, but you can't really tell. Because
of
the way
Vectrex,
I think the actual arcade looks like it's, it was a vector-based arcade from 1980. It probably did use, like, a screen. Like a cellophane cover or something, but you wouldn't notice because of the way it's made. And so there's like these, you're trying to whittle down the layers of the shield until you can hit the thing in the middle. And, but it looks like it's got like asteroid style controls on your ship. And the thing like shoots back at you and all that stuff. It looks insanely hard, but very cool. So, but anyway, HSW himself, was trying to make that work for the 2600 and it just couldn't do it. So instead, he kind of like, instead of having the three rotating barriers, he put, you know, like a set one barrier that's around the thing and then the neutral zone, which is kind of a clever way of
I really like it because he basically, he's like, he was given the task of converting it or whatever and was just like, this is physically impossible. I'm going to do something different. And they were like, okay, go ahead. Just do something completely different. That's fine.
Okay, so here's what it was. So Yar's Revenge. The title comes from, at the time, the CEO of Atari was a guy named Ray Kassar. Yeah. And so Yar is Ray backwards, and they're protecting the planet Razak.
Yes.
Which is, you know, Kassar sort of backwards.
Cute.
And so, yeah, so what you were saying earlier is you wanted to show that he wanted to put his name in it and stuff like that. And so he had the guy is going to run. Yeah, I don't know.
You gotta like.
So he's putting people's names in it. It's got a lot of in jokes in it.
Easter egg. It's pretty cool. It's a really great game.
It is pretty cool. Like it is one of the classics. Classic 2600 games. Is there anything else? Like what else? Since we probably got time, I mean, we can't really talk about this game for too long, and we do have to rank it. But I'm kind of curious. Since I feel like I've got some sympathetic voices here for this old platform, what are the games of its era do you think are also worth checking out?
Adventure?
Well, I mean, more like the shooters, I guess. How about
What was that one game we ranked that was that really fancy game? I think you picked it, Xerxes. It was like the space game.
That game almost doesn't count because it's so bonkers.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
It's crazy. I mean, it stands up to NES games.
A lot of games by iMagic are real good, like Atlantis.
Yeah, Atlantis is really good. There's like
Mega Mania is a really good shoot 'em up.
Yeah, there's River Raid. As we said, that's a very good one. That's very hard though.
Like about anything from Activision is worth playing.
Yeah, in the iMagic games, as he said, but it looks like it was ported to the Game Boy Color. Is that real?
This game?
I actually
played that version. It's not the best because it can't fit the entire screen, so it's really hard to know if you're aiming your Mega Cam, Zoran Cam, whatever.
Oh god,
in the right
place. Does not sound good at all.
It's kind of not. You just kind of have to guess and hope you're aiming the right way.
Apparently there's like a HTML5 version of the game too, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, you could probably, I think you can just play it online if you really want, which is nice and simple if you want to play Yar's Revenge. Can I mention, because we haven't quite covered that, when you shoot the freaking Quotile with your cannon, and you can also shoot the Swirl, which is also considered the Quotile, there's a huge explosion. I mean, like, huge. The entire screen blows up. It's
Oh
great.
Yeah, that is really
such
cool.
A neat effect, and it all narrows down to the center, nearly the center of the screen, and then when it completely closes off, it transitions right into the next stage.
Like, it's crazy.
You gotta appreciate that, because that would have been, you know, these games, usually nothing happened, or at best it would be like, blip, and that would be it, you know, whereas this game has a constant, like, humming sound the whole time, like with the, I think it's the neutral zone sound, it's just
and
yeah, and then you got this explosion goes off. It's just so bright and colorful. It really looks like nothing else on the system, I think, except for...
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, like, you know, we mentioned, like, Howard Scott Warshaw, right? Like, the other games he did were, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and E.T. Those are both, I think, also released in 1982. So, he was busy guy. Can you imagine going from the height of Yar's Revenge, like, being probably the most successful game Atari had out for its own console in a long time, certainly one of the most successful games of the year. On the strength of that, you get Raiders of the Lost Ark, which, you know, didn't turn into a great game, but you got Steven Spielberg was like, you know, giving you high fives. Like, he loved it. Like, he loved it because
also that game uses it's really unique because it uses both one and two player control, right, to actually play the game. It's a whole, like, crazy thing that you actually use two controllers for, which is
I mean, it's very clever. I don't know how great it is, but it's you know, they're aiming high, and then he gets tasked with E.T., and that's another, you know, basically was rushed out the door to make sure that they could get, you know, this is a very famous story, we don't really need to get into it, but the guys, like,
just
story,
a bunch of E.T.s were buried in the desert.
Can I just say something
about Mexico land?
Well, can I mention a little more, like, so he imagine going from that, like, the guy probably is, like, buying himself, like, a Lamborghini.
Come on, it would have been like
at the beginning of the
like
year,
a pound of hash.
A DeLorean, yeah, and like an entire, like, duffel bag full of cocaine at the beginning of 1982. And at the end of it, he puts out E.T. and he gets pretty much blamed for it, even though he didn't have much control over it. And to be fair, like, E.T., like, had it been, like, you know, if he had, like, twice as much time to do it, it probably would have been a pretty cool game.
I can't remember whether it was 2 weeks or 6 weeks, but he had, like, no time.
No,
like,
real
just,
time.
Just nothing. It's like, okay, we think this guy can make this game, and he has no time. Go do it. Like, he didn't have time to test it. It was just like, go, 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 go. That's insane. If you've tried to make a rapid prototype on computers today, if you tried to release a full game in 2 weeks, you would still be like, I don't know if I could do that. That sounds a bit difficult.
And to his, I guess to his credit, like, he could have just made, like, a dot-munching kind of, like, you know, Pac-Man clone with E.T. in it instead of Pac-Man. And it would have sold like gangbusters. you know, anyway.
I like
and
that,
kids probably
like,
would have liked it even better.
How do you how do you make an E.T. game? Like, seriously. Like, E.T. is not something that makes a good arcade game. It doesn't.
Is it a good... But he didn't make an arcade game. Like, he tried to make it something more like Adventure. Something more like...
I know what it is.
You know, he's, like, he's very thoughtful.
Fly out of him.
It's just, the problem is like, he had to think about how he was going to design the game as he was making the game, because he had to ship the game, like, immediately. So it's like, the design phase should have been like a month or two alone, just kind of creating it. And you can tell that he had pretty good ideas. And it's a shame, because after this, I don't know that he did many games after that. Like, I think he did a few, or he may have tried, but
he got a
psychology degree, and he's like he's a therapist or something like that now.
I mean, he fell into games because he was a, like, programmer for Hewlett Packard, I think, and then he read the Atari manual and was like, all right, and went to work at Atari. Like,
I hear about people like this, and I think, like, I wish I were alive back then, and I also wish that I were smart.
Yeah.
Like, because I would have loved to do stuff like that. That, like, sounds like so much fun. But
today,
it's,
I'll,
like,
just go work for Atari.
Yeah, today I'm going to do all the drugs and go make a couple video games. and you know, whatever.
It's
like,
great.
Who knows? Like, I'll just, like, chill out and hang out in, like, Northern California, making crazy money.
So I want to say something about his work.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because there's something I think is totally unfair. People complain about E.T. all the time, right? They say how horrible it is. They exaggerate.
Yeah.
Have people ever played Raiders of the Lost Ark? Because it is so much worse. It is.
Really? It's a game that requires two controllers.
Right. E.T. never did that, but I don't know why he gets a free pass.
I mean, you know, Cal and I thought the two controllers thing was kind of a cool idea, at least.
It's a cool idea. E.T. He has a big problem in that its default game is awful. I think you have to get a more fun game, you got to kind of at least turn the game mode up a few times.
I would not say Raiders is more fun.
I mean, Raiders is also kind of closer to, like, I guess, Raiders, because you actually play as Indiana Jones and you actually do things like use your whip and stuff, I think. E.T. is not, like, a fun concept because it's just, like, you have to run around and grab items. And it's
I think the real problem with E.T. is it's frustrating. Yeah. And, like, it's not frustrating the way that kids are used to games being frustrating at the time. Usually Atari games are frustrating because, like, oh, my God, okay, I died. Okay, game over. Game over. Oh, what do I do? Check the difficulty level. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what that is. That square hit that square.
It was a real read the manual
game. And
then
the game reset.
Which is not good.
You know, he was trying to do high concept stuff, and he did. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't think Rangers is a good game, but I think that he was trying stuff, and it doesn't seem like it bit him in the ass at the time. Players at the time seemed to be okay with it. And again, when Steven Spielberg says, I like this game, this is cool. Like, you know, like, you got to feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, he liked, what was that block shooting game on the Wii? He really liked that one. What was that game?
What?
He did. It was that game where you, like, flunked blocks with the Wiimote.
It wasn't De Blob, was it?
No, Blocks.
Boom, like, Blocks. That was it.
De Blocks? B-L-O-X.
Yeah. Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks. Is that right? Yeah. Whatever, the block game on the Wii, I remember Steven Spielberg being like, this game rules! Which is great. We gotta rank Yars, though.
Yeah, we gotta rank it.
And I will mention, the neutral zone, because we haven't mentioned it yet, that's actually the game's code being exposed on the screen. It's awesome!
Really?
That is actually really cool. Yeah.
That's how it gets the random sort of, like, integer kind of stuff, is it's just like, it's the game as it's running displayed on the screen. It's so cool, because
that's why it looks so weirdly glitchy. I mean, that is, to me, like, that just makes the game even extra cool.
It makes it super cool. And if you're, like, doing, because I think as you get further in the game, because the numbers are changing, the neutral zone changes a bit, it's so cool. Mm-hmm.
Yars Revenge, there's Yar, and there's Yar, and together there's Yars.
The game was about pirates, to be honest.
Yeah, they're pirates. Mm. Sure.
Like, Yar.
This isn't Sid Meier's Pirates.
Sid.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, 105 is where we put Solaris. I do think it should go above Solaris, probably.
I think so, too. If only because, like, Solaris is really building a lot on top of an existing game concept, albeit one by the same guy.
Solaris is 105. That's pretty high.
It is pretty high.
I think we could do, like, a little bit above that, because Yars Revenge, again, like, it's not only a classic for the platform, but it's kind of a game that gamers of a certain age really remember fondly, but there aren't that many of them left. We're all dying. No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the Atari kind of love kind of flared out in the 90s, and very few gamers go back to this era and this platform and think about it and talk about it. And that's kind of a shame, because there's some games where you'd be amazed at how many cool ideas they can fit into this very limited platform.
I really think there is a lot of kudos to be given to a game that's on the 2600 that basically manages to remain fun for, you know, 30 plus years. Like, that's not an easy task.
It still works.
That.
Yeah. Is there, like, I bet this is available on Switch somehow. That's how you get the kids interested these days.
Like, what about that remake? Did anyone play that remake?
No, that's the one I think that's Yar apostrophe S.
It's like this Miyazaki-esque rail shooter, like Panzer Dragoon, apparently.
Yeah.
Wow. I almost forgot that actually exists.
And so did, like, everybody else, apparently.
Play as one of those, metallic bumblebee ladies from that one Japanese artist, basically. You know the one.
Oh, I know that one.
You know that one. The one that does all the chrome women. Like, that guy.
Yeah, that's right. He's, what's his name?
I didn't even know that game was any good, because I never played it.
I don't think it was super fondly ranked, that one. I seem to remember it did okay on the 360, and when it was ported to the PC, people really didn't like it. So, don't know, but Yars' Revenge is probably still better. Where is it going to go? Is it going to break the 100, or is it going to sit in this just around Solaris? We can put it above Yoshi's Island.
I think we can put it above Yoshi's Island. Where's Yoshi's Island?
You guys really hate Yoshi's Island, don't you?
Stick it to Yoshi's Island.
I don't dislike Yoshi's Island. Okay, so just to follow up my thing, like, it's one of the 150 games that are on the Atari Flashback Collection for the Nintendo Switch. That collection also has Yars Return, the one we talked about, and the kind of pseudo sequel. And it's got Warlords Arcade and Warlords 2600.
Warlords is the other one that I would put really high. I love Warlords. I think it's a brilliant game.
Warlords, the 2600 version, was coded by the same woman who did the Star Raiders conversion for 2600, which is really cool. She's like kind of an unsung Atari legend from back in those days when basically nobody knew anybody's name at Atari. They were hidden from you.
Brilliant.
But she was brilliant. Okay, so where do we say?
I know you like Kentucky Route Zero a lot. Do you think it should go above that?
I'm okay with that. I think that Kentucky Route Zero is innovative, but it's like it's a hard sell. I mean, I'd even put it above Echo the Dolphin.
Oh, I was going to hate that.
Okay.
I'm glad Satan.
I'm all for it.
Can't believe this.
What's about Painkiller?
If we're going to put it, let's just put it at an even 100 at the moment. I think that's, I mean, I wouldn't put it above Space Harrier at 97.
Why can't we put it at, okay, we'll put it at 100. As of this recording, it's at 100. It goes right below Painkiller, right above Echo the Dolphin. Thanks, who nominated this one again? I've already forgotten. Was it Wordito?
Utopia Nemo.
Utopia Nemo.
Nemo, because I was like, is that the fish or the submarine?
Utopia Nemo, yeah. Submarine Captain, my friend. So thank you, Utopia Nemo, for this, because this is a 5-star review one, right?
Yes, because that says iTunes, so it would
be. I hope we did it justice, Utopia Nemo. I love this game. You should definitely play it. Any way you can get your hands on it. I mean, the Switch Flashback Collection is like 150 games, 2600 and arcade versions. That's pretty good.
It has the arcade versions as well. That's actually pretty
good. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, it might be flip grip compatible. I don't know. So yeah, you know, for $40 or whatever, not a bad deal. Check it out. Until next time, we'll see y'all later. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent, Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm. Check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter, Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.